بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. A very warm welcome to this week's edition of Living the Legacy. For some of you, it is the first of Ramadan in some countries, depending on the moon sighting, and many others waiting for tomorrow to be their first fast. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put plenty of barakah in your Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you to fulfill this pillar of Islam, this pillar of fasting, of increasing recitation of Quran, of dhikr, of istighfar, of dua. May we honor the times of suhoor and iftar with remembrance of Allah, with turning to Allah. And may in this Ramadan, may we all experience and learn and allow for us an opportunity to grow our taqwa and tawakkul muscles, inshallah. My name is Rehana Umar, and it is an honor to be in your company this Tuesday. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As we continue with our Ramadan focus. Coming up later on the program today, we're going to be hearing from our esteemed guest. Our esteemed guest on the program today will be talking to us more about the heart. And today, our guest coming up on the program will be Maulana Naeem Dokrat. Maulana Naeem is a graduate of Madrasa Jamia Masihiya Ashrafiya. Maulana is a presenter and a sound engineer at Radio Islam, alhamdulillah. And later on the program today, Maulana will be talking to us about volatility of the heart. We're going to find out from Maulana more about the hadith that explains that the heart is like a feather in the wind. And we're going to also learn more about how we can safeguard our hearts and anchor our hearts. And finally, we look forward to hearing from Maulana his Ramadan Nasiha to us all. That comes up in the last segment of this hour. And as always, a great pleasure to have you joining us for this hour as we continue our journey of learning and living a legacy. And for now, at least, our focus is the Ramadan legacy. And let's begin. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So the topic that we're looking at for today is means and goals. The ayah that we hear so very often from Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 183, tells us, and it addresses us, O you who believe, observing a sawm is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, that you may become the Allah-fearing, the pious. So fasting was prescribed in the month of Ramadan to attain piety. The question is it a means or a goal? It is a means. And the goal we want to attain is taqwa. So you will measure your success in the month of Ramadan according to how much you fulfilled this taqwa, this piety. And this is how you and I will know if we succeeded in the month of Ramadan or not. Many people observe fasting and then they go for Qiyam. But the question is, did they attain piety? When we look at the present state of Muslims, we ask, what is our attitude in the month of Ramadan? So overall, the focus is on observing our fast, praying our taraweeh, and focusing on our actions. And we take care of what is after fasting, right? But there is no ihtisab. What about hope? And this is something that needs to be really clear for us in our hearts as Muslims. See, as soon as Ramadan finishes, what happens? Do we have the effects of Ramadan in our hearts? Or do we go back to who we were before Ramadan? So today, we're going to discuss how you and I can attain piety in this month of Ramadan. Let's learn more. Now, we've talked about taqwa on previous programs. And our reference for this was Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah number 11. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about Nabi Adam alayhi salam and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Adam alayhi salam not to eat from that tree, but that Adam alayhi salam, he forgot that he ate from that tree. And that he asked forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah forgave him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Adam alayhi salam and his wife Hawa to earth. And after that, after this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes four calls to the children of Adam alayhi salam. And what we're going to focus on inshallah now is more about this. We know in ayah 26, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, O children of Adam, we have bestowed raiment upon you to cover yourselves and as an adornment. And the raiment of righteousness, that is better. Such are among the ayat of Allah, but so, you know, that they may remember. ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, O children of Adam alayhi salam, we bestowed on you raiments and clothing to cover your aura, and the clothing of righteousness is better. And here the reference to taqwa. So we understand that the heart also has defects and we need to cover it like the body. So covering our heart with what? With piety. When you and I recite the Quran, when we do the good deeds, when we give that charity, we will be covering the defects of our heart, and this is the taqwa we want to attain. Because the place of the taqwa is in the heart, so we have to take care of our hearts in the month of Ramadan. So the focus is on fasting, yes. On qiyam, on tarawih, yes. On reciting Quran, yes. But do not forget focus on the heart too. Now, the virtues of this month of Ramadan are many. And as believers, as an ummah, we are to be so thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these blessings. For the blessings of Ramadan, for the blessing of being able to have fasted and worshipped in previous Ramadans. And now the blessing of this Ramadan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. We make shukr to Allah for this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala characterized this month of Ramadan with characteristics that you can never find in any other month of the year. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for you and I to attain this piety in the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah. The angel Jibreel alayhi salam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Ameen to three things that the angel Jibreel said. And one of them was, may the nose of the person be soiled with dust who enters the month of Ramadan and comes out of it without being forgiven. So Jibreel alayhi salam is invoking against whom? Against a person who enters the month of Ramadan and comes out of it without being forgiven. And here the angel Jibreel is saying, may Allah disgrace that person. SubhanAllah, this expression, may his nose be soiled in dust. This is an expression that the Arabs used to disgrace someone. SubhanAllah. So why did angel Jibreel invoke against this person? And even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said Ameen to that. Because Ramadan is a great opportunity for the forgiveness of sins. And if a person didn't take that opportunity in Ramadan to increase in Iman or perform good deeds or be forgiven, then really, you know, how has a person benefited in any way from Ramadan? So we are given multiple chances in Ramadan throughout this month. And you and I need to take advantage of all these chances. Because if we lose these chances, it is us who are the real losers with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Out of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love, He is Al-Wadood, the most loving, the all-loving. Allah has made seasons, and He brought Ramadan as a gift for you and I to increase in Iman and to be forgiven in our sins. This is a gift from Allah. We need to appreciate this gift and to observe the fast in a way that Allah is pleased with. So it's really important, absolutely important, that we take advantage of this month of Ramadan. So let's explore what are the characteristics of this month of Ramadan. And by doing so, that will increase our love and reverence for the month of Ramadan and build in us greater enthusiasm, motivation, and determination to do more and to be better for the sake of Allah. Now, this ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah tells us in ayah 185 that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the month of Ramadan, in which Allah revealed the Quran as guidance, I'm paraphrasing here, to bring the points of Ramadan, Quran, and guidance. But most Muslims who don't recite Quran throughout the year, they hold the Quran in the month of Ramadan and recite frequently. So the question is, are they taking the Quran as a means or goal? In such a case, it would be a goal. Now you may ask, how do we know? If a person is just reciting and reciting and just the recitation is with the goal of finishing, then that is what it is. How are we reciting? Do we recite with the best level of tajweed we have? Do we recite with focus and intention? Now again, everyone may be at a different level when it comes to their tajweed, when it comes to their understanding of the Quran. And we all are at some place that we are working hard to improve and to strengthen that relationship with the Quran. So yes, of course, read as much as you can every day. Read as many hatam as you can. Read with understanding. Reflect. But remember, our goal is not to say at the end of the month that I have completed a khatam, or I have read 10 pages or 100 pages. It is to know that that relationship with the Quran has strengthened. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in the Quran to recite with tartil, to recite with tadabbur and tilawah. Tilawa is to recite the Quran in a slow mode with a beautiful voice. To stop at its amazing parts and to ponder and to reflect on what we are reading. So let us this Ramadan recite the Quran slowly. And let us beautify our voices, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that. But in the same token, let's not be distracted with the beautiful rhythm or voice when we recite or when we listen to audio. We need to collect our hearts to focus on what we are reciting. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen that relationship we all have with the Quran. So Surah Al-Fatiha, every day, we're reading it a minimum of 17 times a day. And what does Surah Al-Fatiha end with? It ends with صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. The way of those on whom you have bestowed your grace, not the way of those who earned your anger, nor of those who went astray. So three categories of people are being mentioned here in Surah Al-Fatiha, in the close of it. We're going to go for a break. When we return, we talk more about these three categories of people mentioned. Stay with us. A warm welcome to the second segment of today's edition of Living the Legacy. We're talking about Ramadan, means and goals. And before the break, we were focusing on Surah Al-Fatiha, the concluding verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions three categories of people. There are those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed His mercy upon, صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. The second category, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ, those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry with, وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, and those who are misguided. Then in Surah Al-Baqarah, what do we notice? It speaks more of Bani Israel. And so the surah is about the Yahud. And then Surah Al-Imran is about the Nasara. So see the sequence. The Quran is full of sequence. And who will notice this? Only those who recite the Quran with pondering and concentration and deep thinking. Subhanallah, every surah has a connection with the following surah. So we need to bring questions. And in this way, when we recite the Quran with tadabbur, then our heart will really be sure that this Quran is not from people. It is from Al-Hakim, the All-Wise. And you will be filled with the yaqeen that this is the speech of Allah. So deal with the Quran well this Ramadan and always. Magnify and ponder upon it. Recite with tilawah and understanding. Once you do that, you're then going to work to act upon what you're reading. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, don't recite the Quran like how you recite poetry, meaning not quickly, and recite it such that you have to stop at parts and don't let your concern be the end of the chapter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoins fasting upon us in this month of Ramadan. Now, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribe the fasting for you and I? As we learn from the Quran itself, it is so that we attain piety. Now, the daytime of Ramadan is a very important time to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Why is the daytime hours so important in Ramadan? Because we are doing what? We are observing the fast. This is why any time when you establish any pillar of Islam in it, then that time is the most important time with Allah azza wa jal. Now if I ask you, you know Arafah, it's a part of Hajj, and it is a pillar of Hajj. And if you heard a person spending the day of Arafah from morning till night sleeping, then you will think this person is a loser, right? Though it is accepting because he was at Arafah, but what could he have done? He was to stand and invoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what about if we spend the day of Ramadan, right? We are well, we are in a state of afia. It is not that we are unwell. We are well, we have full health. For those of us that have full good health, if we take the day of Ramadan and we say, after Fajr, I'm going to sleep throughout the day and I'm going to sleep right up until before Asr time sets in, and then I'm going to quickly get up and rush and make wudu and pray my zuhur before it becomes qada, but I've slept from after Fajr right till before Asr time. Then are we winners or are we losers? Have we actually use the time or have we wasted the best time of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We also see in Ramadan, and we hear of it, people who take great care with their taraweeh more than they actually take care of the fard, which is siyam. And we know that the siyam, this fasting, is which is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fasting is a pillar of Islam, and Allah loves what He has enjoined upon His slave. So let us understand the fact that we need to take care of our fasting during Ramadan. Let us take care of the daytime. Yes, in Ramadan, our schedules are different. We may nap after Dhuhr, or we may nap mid-morning, or when we come back from work, or after Ishraq. Everyone has different routines and times in which we rest and try to make up for some of the interrupted sleep. So rest when you need to. But remember to put aside time in your day. Make time, prioritize time in the day for Quran, istighfar, dua, dhikr. Keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept the fast from you, and that you are observing fast for Him and carry out His command, and ask Him to reward you for it and to help you to fast throughout Ramadan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said to the effect that when the first night of Ramadan comes, what will happen? The devils will be chained, and the gates to Jannah will be opened, and the gates of hellfire will be closed, and none will remain open. Every day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala releases people from the hellfire. We know it is recorded in At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the first night of the month of Ramadan comes, the devils and defiant jinn are bound in chains, and all the gates of hellfire are closed, and none of them remains open, and all the gates of paradise are opened, and none of them remains closed. And every night, a caller from the heaven will announce, O seeker of goodness and virtue, come forward. And O evildoer, halt, desist, and do not come forward. And a large number of sinners are released from at the command of Allah. And all this takes place on every night of Ramadan. SubhanAllah. First thing, gates of Jannah are open. What does this mean? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for us to do good deeds, and Allah will open the chances for us to do good deeds. So we need to take advantage of this matter. So if you're performing your qiyam, increase. If you are giving sadaqah, give more. These are all opportunities for us to enter Jannah. May Allah make us the people of paradise. Ameen. And then that the gates of hell are closed. So the chances of doing the sins are less. Why? The shayateen are chained. So what is our excuse? Right? Because we still commit sins in Ramadan. Why? So we think, well, how is it that the devils are chained for Ramadan, but we are still doing wrong? We still are lying, cheating, gossiping, backbiting, neglecting our salah, breaking our fast deliberately, disobeying Allah, etc. How is it that we still do sins? Why? So some of the scholars have three opinions. And the one is, it may be that the strong devils are chained, but the qareen, the devil, companion who accompanies us, is not chained and will cause us to do sin. The second that is that in fasting, the blood movement in the body is slowed down, and the chance of shaitan flowing in our blood is reduced. So the whisper is less, but there is influence, but not as significant as outside of Ramadan. And the third reason is ourself is a means of committing the sins. Our nafs and also bad company, evil people, they are like shayateen who whisper to our hearts. It's also the lifestyle we choose that could divert us from Sirat al-Mustaqim, from the straight, correct path. And that's why we have to be so, so careful. What are we allowing in our space in Ramadan, physically, emotionally? Who are the people we're spending time with in Ramadan? What are the social media accounts we follow? How much of time are we online? All of these have an impact on our hearts. So when we notice that we are still fasting and we are praying Taraweeh and reciting Quran, but we are still also doing wrong deeds, so what do we do? Here's where we have to strive hard. We have to struggle hard against the nafs. Right? In the hadith, it is also said that a divine caller will call every night and say, O seeker of the good, come forward and increase in performing the good deeds, and O evil doer, stop and don't come forward and commit sins. So every night this happens. Now if you were doing any good deeds in the month of Ramadan, do more. Your advice, good speech, smile, fasting, feeding, charity, these are all good deeds. Alhamdulillah. Remember that the reward in the month of Ramadan, the rewards are multiplied. And of course, no one is perfect. So this Ramadan, make it a new start for you. You know yourself well, and you know that you can commit certain sins. So stop it now. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness for those sins and make a firm resolve not to go back to what you used to do before Ramadan, and realize that every night that the caller from the heavens is telling you to stop and not commit the sin. Allah Azza wa Jal is giving us the chance to increase in Iman in the month of Ramadan. So take the chance and be of those who are released from the fire in Ramadan. Fasting is also a shield. It is a protection. And what is it a protection from? It is a protection from the hellfire. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, fasting is a protection and a fortified fortress from hellfire. Again, fasting is a protection and a fortified fortress from hellfire. This hadith is reported by Ahmad. So the question you may have is, how so? How can fasting be a protection from the hellfire? And why? Why is the fasting a protection or a shield between you and the hellfire? Remember we previously mentioned a hadith wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, and to the effect that hellfire is surrounded with desires, and Jannah is surrounded with disliked matters. So hellfire is surrounded by what we like. All the desires, all the things that we like is surrounding the hellfire. So what does the fasting do? The fasting controls our desires and stops it. So how many desires do we have? Well, we have the desires of the stomach. And fasting makes us stop eating and drinking from dawn till maghrib. So we must ask ourselves daily, am I controlling the desires of my stomach? Then we have shahawat al-farj, which is the sexual desires, which we observe fasting from morning till maghrib. So are we controlling those desires during the fasting hours? Then we have that of al-ghadab, which is holding off our anger, شهوات الغضب. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if someone behaves foolishly with you and offends you, then you need to say that you are fasting and your fast prevents you from being angry. So when we fast, are we controlling, are we holding off our anger? And the last is, or the fourth is, شهوات الكلام, which is the desire for talk. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever doesn't give up false statements, then Allah is in no need of him leaving the food and drink. So example, the lying or backbiting, the vain talk, the gossiping, all kinds of evil, vain talk. When you leave it off, it will hold the person from talking. Right? The person is busy with the fasting. SubhanAllah. So fasting prevents us from being a slave to our desires. SubhanAllah. Now the people are of three kinds. Those who are slaves, the ones whose desire control them and dominate their hearts, and whatever their selves tell them to do, they obey. And whatever their self wants them to do, they will obey. That's the person who is a slave to his desires. So example, some people need their coffee after breakfast. And if they don't have it, they're very angry. Or if they don't take the bread from that bakery, then they will not eat anything. Or if they didn't get up at this exact time and sleep at this exact time, then they'll be miserable, etc. So we're slaves to our desires. And fasting is a way to remove us from the slavery to our desires. So you might say, okay, I have to sleep early and get up for work. But then the qiyam is to get up early in the night, and then you have to wake up for qiyam. Right? Or you say, I only eat cornflakes for breakfast. But then we learn from the sunnah that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have dates. Right? So Ramadan comes to free us from our slavery to our own desires. The routine, the lifestyle we drew up for ourselves, this way of life. And if there's a change, then we become upset. But Ramadan came to change us and to make us free people. SubhanAllah. Right, whatever Allah brings to you, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. If we think about it, all the pillars of Islam, literally all the pillars of Islam, came to free us from slavery to our desires. Whether it's siyam, which is to free us from being slaves to our food and drink and time, whether it's zakat, to free us from being slaves to our money, or hajj, to free us from being attached to one thing. In the hajj, you move from one place to another, you dress in a certain way, right? Salah comes to free us from relationship with work or relationship with people, because as soon as you hear the adhan, you leave everything and you run to the call of Allah. SubhanAllah. We are chained by our desires, and Ramadan came to free us only to be attached to Allah and no one else. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding, help us to see that fasting is a means of freeing us from our desire. And for every Muslim during the month of Ramadan, there is granted invocation or dua. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah has people who are released from hellfire every day and night, and every slave has a prayer that is answered. In the hadith book of Ahmad, Rasulullah ﷺ is reported to have said, Allah has people whom he redeems from the fire every day and night in Ramadan, and every slave of them has a prayer that is answered. SubhanAllah. This is one of the blessings of fasting in the month of Ramadan. This is a month of opportunity. This is a month for us to establish ourselves as the servants of Allah and to stop being the slaves to our desires. May Allah make us of those people who are truly the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, they say that in the month of Ramadan, people are divided into three groups. Those who believe that Ramadan is a deprivation from eating and following their desires. And those who take care of fasting and salah and giving sadaqah and Quran and good deeds, but without the ihtisab, without that hope of the reward with Allah. Right? And then there are those who observe the fasting, pray the tarawih, read the Quran, do their good deeds with sincere faith, hoping in the reward from Allah. And they are the winners with Allah. So how can we be among these winners? Having sincere faith, having ihtisab, right? Faith and hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who turn to Him and Him alone. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. We're going to be going for our ad break, and in the last segment of the hour, we're going to hear from our esteemed guest today. We'll be hearing from Maulana Naeem Dokrat, and Maulana is going to be discussing the volatility of the heart. Maulana is a graduate of Madrasa Jamia Masihiya Asrafiya. Maulana is a presenter and a sound engineer at Radio Islam. And today, we'll be taking us through more on this topic of the heart. We ask Maulana the question that there is a hadith that explains the heart to be like a feather in the wind. And we ask for Maulana to explain this to us. Secondly, we ask, how can we safeguard and anchor our hearts? And lastly, we hear back from Maulana with nasiha for this month of Ramadan. From myself, I look forward to joining you again next week, inshallah, for another edition of Living the Legacy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us life, iman, and the afiyah to meet next week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Tuned to Loving the Legacy on Radio Islam International.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahi walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Jazakallah khairan Appa for giving me the opportunity to expand on this topic, the topic of the volatility of the heart. Indeed, we look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which describes the heart, which likens the heart to a feather in the wind, a hadith narrated by Abu Musa radiallahu an, where he says, مَثَلُ الْقَلْبِ مِثْلُ الرِّيشَةِ تَقَلُّبُهَا الرِّيحَ, that the parable of the heart is that of a feather that is blown about in the wind of a desert. This hadith is narrated in Sunan Ibn Majah. From this we learn a very fundamental principle from this hadith, and that is that the heart, number one, is a central organ of the body, and it is that part of the body which often directs change within the body. If we look at it from a health perspective, a healthy heart shows a, if we keep the heart healthy, then this heart, yeah, subhanallah, the body naturally will be healthy as well if the heart is healthy. If we look at the heart physically, then we understand that it is necessary to take care of the heart, ensure it is, and to ensure it is kept in a healthy state. Similarly, the heart also has a spiritual state which needs to be nourished and nurtured. If it is left unchecked, if it is not maintained spiritually, then this heart can also be misled. In this hadith, we see that the heart is likened to a leaf being blown in the wind in the desert. In a desert, there is no boundaries, and a leaf can be blown in any direction. There is nothing to stop it. There is no barrier to restrict the leaf from flying about. There is nothing to stop that leaf from even being blown off the tree. Similarly, our hearts are constantly turning. If you look at the heart physically, the heart is constantly beating. The heart is constantly moving. Similarly, if we do not control it and keep it in check spiritually, then the heart can easily be misled. We look at another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mention, أَلَا إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ لَمُدْغَةٍ إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mention that beware that there is a piece of flesh in the body. If it becomes good, if it is reformed, the whole body becomes good. But if it is spoiled, the whole body gets spoiled, and that is the heart. So physically and spiritually, if this heart is neglected, the body will become weak, the body will become malnourished, and this person will die from physical causes as well as spiritual causes. One can lose one's iman. It is our duty to safeguard our hearts from the temptation and the waswasa of shaitan. Many a times we forget that it is a duty upon us, and it has been made compulsory upon us, that we need to protect our iman. We need to physically protect our iman. Allah has left us and has given us the choice to choose between right and wrong. Allah has given us the opportunity to choose the correct path. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent down Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam. What a message. What a message of guidance, that if we follow it, then we will be successful. And if we neglected that message, if we ignored that message, then most certainly we would be misled. When we commit sins, our hearts become blackened due to the consequences of our evil deeds. And this is when our hearts become susceptible to the evil influences of shaitan. How do we protect our heart? How do we remove the influence of shaitan? The key to removing the influence of shaitan, of purifying our hearts, is turning in repentance unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the Quran informs us, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا, that, oh man, would you not turn to your Rabb? Verily He is most forgiving. Verily Allah is most forgiving. So a person might commit sins. He might have committed many sins. We look at the example in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam of the man who killed 99 people. And he went to a pious person, he went to a learned person who was considered to be learned, and he asked this person that, I have killed 99 people, is there forgiveness for me? And what had happened was that this person told him that, never, you are a murderer, you've killed 99 persons. So this person who had murdered 99 people became enraged, and he killed the pious person as well, making it 100. He then went and found out, is there a pious person who can assist me? And he directed him to a certain pious person within that town who would assist him. And when he came, he said, I've killed 100 people. Is there any hope for forgiveness for me? This person, on the other hand, told him, listen here, understanding this man's predicament, understanding that first of all, this man needed a change in environment, informed him and told him, my brother, go to a different village. In that village, there are good people who will help you on your way to reforming and turning back to Allah. And thus, this person began his journey. He started traveling. And whilst on his journey towards repentance, on his journey towards reforming himself, this person's ruh was taken out of his body. At that time, the malaika who had come to remove his soul from his body, two sets of malaika had come down. One was the set which had come as the malaika of rahmah, and the other was the angels which had come down as the malaika of adab. And we see, subhanallah, in this hadith it is described that the two of them had an argument. These two groups of malaika had an argument as to who should remove his ruh. And finally it was decided that this person, they should measure the distance between the town where he had left and the town he was going to. If he was closer to the town that he had left, then the malaika of adab would remove and take his ruh away. However, if it was that he was closer to the town that he was going to towards where he was, where he had intended his repentance, then we see, subhanallah, this person, his ruh would be removed by the malaika of mercy, of rahmah. And thus we see that in this hadith it's stated that this man was a hand span closer to the town that he had intended to repent unto Allah, to join those people who had been good company and who would have helped him reform himself and come closer unto Allah. And thus his ruh was removed by the angels of rahmah. Thus with us as well, when we find ourselves spiraling out of control, when we find that we have been led down a dark path due to our sins, and we are now finding ourselves in a deep depression and heartache, the way to cure our hearts from this heartache and sin is to turn to Allah in repentance. For verily, repentance wipes out all of our sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I had mentioned in the verse of the Quran, is most forgiving. And no matter how much sin a person may commit, as long as that person, before the pangs of death, turns in repentance unto Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely forgive that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ensure that that person's sins are forgiven. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes a person who makes tawbah as at-ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kama la dhanba lah, or kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. That person who repents from a sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely forgive his sin, and it will be as if though that sin never existed. So when a person says, Ya Rabbi ighfirli, O my Rabb, forgive me. O my Rabb, forgive me, for I have sinned, I have wronged myself. Then most certainly and definitely, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ensure, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be sure enough to wipe that sin out, to the effect that even the malaika who had noted down that sin will be made unaware of that sin as if though it never existed. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us the opportunity to turn in repentance before our death. As we are approaching the month of Ramadan, this is a golden opportunity for us to turn unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance, for us to earn the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is giving us a golden opportunity to turn in repentance unto Allah. Let us make it a habit that every day during this month of Ramadan, we will seek Allah's forgiveness, we will seek the pardon of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will return unto Allah. Let us become excessive in istighfar during this month, or let us be consistent to the minimal, that every day, minimum 100 times, we will seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My concluding advice to this segment is that as we are about to enter this month, some of us may have already entered this blessed month of Ramadan, let us make a sincere intention to make this month the best month of our lives, better than any other month that we have spent before. This is one opportunity. We have no guarantee that we will get another opportunity like this month. And in order to achieve maximum benefit, let us remember, it is not the quantity of actions that we perform, rather it is the quality of the action that we will perform. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith informs us, أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلَّ. The most loved action by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala are not those actions which are done in great quantity. So, like they give the example of soda water. When you open a can of soda water or of a cold drink, then what happens? You see the gas all bubbling up. Like that day, after a while, it all simmers down. Let us not be like that day, that in the beginning of the month of Ramadan, we with all fervor and zeal, that we worship Allah and we overexert ourselves, and comes by the 10th, 11th day of Ramadan, we are burnt out and now we cannot maintain that spiritual high. Rather, let us start off small, but let us start off consistent and build up towards the end of Ramadan. So comes the end of Ramadan, inshallah, we are ready to continue with the actions that we have built up. We have built a good base, we have built a good foundation, and we continue building on that foundation for the next 330 days till we reach the next month of Ramadan, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Make this Ramadan a Ramadan of success for each one of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a means of forgiveness for all of us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a means of us turning unto Allah and becoming sincere servants of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Wa akhir da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.